That's exciting. I love that. Thank you, guys. You know, I'm a sports fan, and so, you know, I get all hype about that stuff. It was really funny. We went to a youth conference here, geez, it feels like a year ago. I don't even think it was a month ago. Beginning of May. Man, that was a while ago. But we did a big dodgeball tournament. I didn't play in the dodgeball, but I rallied up this team that I was cheering for. We did, like, a big chant in the middle and stuff. It was wild, but it was fun. But anyways, fun fact, 2 weeks ago, a year ago, I snuck in here, part of my interview, and I was interviewing for this job, youth pastor job, and I got to sit in the service with you all. I went back and found the video on YouTube of the service we sat in, got to see myself walk by, and Pastor Matt shared a video of Twister. Does anybody know the movie Twister? That movie is ingrained in my brain because whenever I turn on the TV, no matter what channel I was on, it was showing, like on satellite TV. I was like, how many times can they show this movie? But I know that movie inside and out. And I remember, it made me think of, one, a year has flown by like nothing else. And if you agree with me, I know some of you can. It's just gone. But in that year, I graduated, I got married, moved to province, started a new job. And it's like, oh my goodness. I didn't move a country, and some of you have moved countries, and so don't try and one-up me here. It's like, I had a lot going on, but it was intense, it was exciting, it was nerve-wracking, but I was like, how did we do it? How did we do it? And in all the moments, I can't tell you that there was ever one thing that was just like this massive hurdle we had to jump. Everything was smooth, it was good, it was nice, and I look back, and I was like, God was in this entire experience, pushing us to do what we wanted to do. And it wasn't because we were just trying to make everything ourselves of like, okay, we got to make these plans, we got to put things in place. There was something deeper involved in it, and it was our relationship to Him. This is the deeper thing I want to dive into today. And it's not about the faith we have in God. It's the trust we have in God. There's a deeper connection and a different kind of thing, because trust, it's a unique aspect to our lives, you know? If we think materialistic things, we put trust in our phones, we put trust in our cars, our planes, the trains, all these vehicles, all these modes of transportation, man-made things, trust in food we eat at restaurants, like all these trust is put there. But then we also put our trust in people. And sometimes it can be really dangerous to put your trust in the wrong person. I know there's some that have experienced that before, where they take something and maybe have a malicious intent. And even look at celebrities nowadays, the trust they have in their people, that must be so selective with who they can talk to, what they share with, because media will just take things and blow things out of proportion. And so we found it difficult now to put our trust in specific things. And we've made it selective as well. We have to be so cautious and so careful. And so the question I have for us today is, why do we find it so difficult to trust God? And this is distinct from faith. So keep that in your mind as well. Why do we find it so difficult to trust God? And as I go through this, I just want to remind you that I'm not going to downplay faith in any way, but I want to focus on trust today because it's really unique in this view. And I know we've been... We get to this point, too, where it's like, why do I get up? Why do I go to church and I believe in God, live my life, yet when something happens, I get scared that everything's not going to be okay? You know, like this big tidal wave just comes flying at you and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not going to be okay. We get to those points and it's serious. It's real and it's life. That's what happens. And we've all been there sitting at the crossroads of option after option of what to do in the situation that has completely encompassed your life. It could be really bad, it could be just something small, but it is just starting to surround you like a fog, a mist, and it just is all around you. And unfortunately, there's scenarios and situations we end up being faced with that there truly is no option. I've known a lot of people who have lost their jobs when they're already living paycheck to paycheck, or have been diagnosed with a serious illness, and there's no cure, science hasn't progressed it far enough, and now they have to live with this. Or a loved one is lost, and there's nothing that can change that. These are the experiences I'm talking about. And these are storms and hardships that many of us, if not all of us, may experience firsthand or secondhand. And with that, that's where we're going to land today, because I want to read you guys this amazing story. So if you have your Bibles, open them up with me or your phones to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And this is where we're going to begin today. But just a little bit of backstory. This is the story for many of you will know that Jesus is calming the storm. This is after Jesus had done a bunch of teaching, and they're going out to cross the Sea of Galilee or a lake nearby. I can't remember which one it was. But anyways, it's a fascinating moment that in the wake of disaster, God arrives just in time. It's like the classic superhero story you'll hear. God arrives just in time. But it's more significant than we may know. Because I know I've been there. I've read the Bible. I've read passages over and over again. We get to these points where it's like, oh, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I know the story. But Jesus has so much for us in this. And so let's read here, Mark chapter 4, verses 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Has anybody ever heard of the show called Deadliest Catch? It's on Discovery Channel. Man. I've seen like videos of the waves that attack these massive boats. I don't want to go to the ocean. Like, I don't know if you're with me, but man, the ocean is terrifying. And don't think that the disciples had this nice cruise liner, you know, that was built for safety, and they had life jackets, they had the cool inflatable boats, you pull the string and boom, it's there. No, they were probably in this little dinghy that had like rows and stuff, maybe a sail on it. I don't know what it would have looked like. But this small wooden thing, and due to the location they were at, the Sea of Galilee, notorious for storms and winds and wild waves. And so this boat, it wasn't just like gently, you know, it was getting walloped by waves, like it was all over the boat. That's terrifying. That's why I don't want to go to the ocean, so don't take me there. But anyways, the power of nature can't be underestimated. We see it. Look at Alberta. Look at the forest fires. You guys know it more too. The BC forest fires. In an instant, things will get caught and blaze and fly out of proportion, and we don't even know what to do with it. And so the disciples, they're well off the shore. They're in the middle of this lake, in the sea, and they're terrified. And every time I read this, so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all account for this story. And every time they emphasize the fear that was grasping the disciples, every single time, it was very emphasized, the fear that was in them. But what were they going to do about it? They had zero control. It's funny watching those videos where people stand on the rocks and the waves, they come up and smash them down. Yeah, you're not stopping that. There's no way you're stopping that. And, you know, they didn't have life jackets. They didn't have that dinghy. They didn't have the lifeboats. They were on their own. And it was serious. And I've never been in a life-threatening situation. You know, I've been spinning out on black ice and stuff. I remember driving a corner, and it was pouring rain, and I slipstreamed, and my car just did a massive shift into the shoulder. And I was like, whoa, that's about as scary for me as it's got. But in that moment, the seconds of fear, overwhelming. I lose my thought. I lose my vision, everything, my ears. I black out almost of like, is this it? Is this it? Everything stops. These were the disciples. This is where they were at. And some of you have been in more serious situations. You know what I'm talking about. And guess this. All this while, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Like, come on. Like, I get he's probably tired and stuff. Like, lots of teaching, lots of that. But he's taking a nap. I couldn't. I couldn't. And I'm a light sleeper too, so there's no way I could. And so I just imagine the panic of the disciples. They're bailing water out of the boat. Get it out as fast as we can, because that's all they know what to do. That's all that they can think to do. And they scream at Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care? We are going to drown. Don't you care? We're going to drown." That's what the situation drove the disciples to say. It wasn't, "Jesus, what can we do? God, where are you?" That was the equivalent. And to get to that instance, all Jesus did was he got up and he said three words: "Silence, be still." And Jesus rebuked the storm. That's key in all this. Keep that for a minute. But just like that, Jesus stopped everything. All of it. And then Jesus asked that painful question. Man, that would be hurt to ask. "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" It's unique how that verse is said. And so hold on to that as well. Do you still have no faith? Because of course, Jesus is referring to the countless other miracles that the disciples would have experienced. So in Jesus' teachings and everything, he was performing miracles to people. And the disciples would have seen all of that. They would have had that. And now they're in this moment where they're in the fear, in the moment, in the waves, in the storm. And they didn't know what they had just witnessed. They were in awe and struck at what God had done, what Jesus had done. But the storms, man, they look very different today, don't they? Finances, bills, loved ones being lost. It's happening all the time. And just as we can't predict when storms are going to roll in, whether they're going to miss us, whether they're going to hit us, they happen all the time. And just like that, all that we feel when that storm is happening is just the storm hitting us. We can't escape it. I mean, you can run as fast as you can. Maybe it'll follow you, but it's going to be with you. It encompasses, that's why I was saying this, it encompasses your entire life. You wake up, you fall asleep, you breathe the pain, the agony, the suffering, whatever you're in. And it feels like you'll never escape it. Like your boat is sinking. You're capsizing. And this is the key thing. It isn't that God is sleeping in the back. It's just that our struggles, they're encompassing everything. That we don't view God in our situation, because the only view in sight is the wind, the rain, the storms, the thunder, the pain, the suffering. And we get to this point where it feels like if we brought God into the mix, if we even slightly thought like, "Okay, God, I'm going to let you in," we bring him to a point where he's as powerless as us. Where we feel like nothing, if no one can change it, then God can't change it either. Because I know what it's like to want control. That was me my whole life. I wanted control so bad of what I was doing, where I worked, what I enjoyed. And it's different with this. Because fear is no easy enemy. Fear is certainly no easy enemy. But I want to bring to your attention three amazing points to this story that help us counter the view of God in this moment of powerless. And it comes to us. And how we truly trust God before the faith. And here's the first point. This is something the disciples didn't fully understand. We don't know Jesus to be who he is. I don't mean this in a bad way or anything, but it's just that idea of, in a relationship, if you don't know the person, you don't really know them. The second "no" is the emphasized one. And a relationship that has been discovered and given, when we give true time to developing to truly know Jesus. And for us, in our persons, we have the privilege of doing face-to-face conversation with each other. We feel the emotions. We can see how they view us, how they view the world, their viewpoints, all of these things. We experience that to its entirety. But with Jesus, it's different. It is. I understand that. Because it's not like we're looking Jesus face to face. We can grab him and touch him and feel him. It is different. There's a spiritual aspect to that side. And even the disciples struggled with this, because in those verses it said, who is this man? They were so stunned, they didn't fully understand who Jesus was. And so when we begin to know Jesus, we know God for all that God is. This is the key part. And this is where we begin to see trust develop. And why do you think Jesus was sleeping? Because yes, he was tired, but this is what's so good. He had full confidence in God and who he said he was. That's what it was. It isn't that Jesus didn't know the storm was there. It isn't that Jesus didn't know the storm was coming. It was he knew that God was with them. And yes, that can be viewed as faith, but it's also trust. It's a little bit deeper into the character of God, what the promises of God is. And so the next point, this is so good. The next point too is this is where I want to kind of focus a little bit more on. It's the part of we try faith without trust. And so, like I said, I'm not trying to downplay faith in any way, but more so I'm helping us understand the importance of trusting with faith. The dynamic duo of these two together, very distinct, but together it's amazing. And what faith looks like without trust is that when we face these storms, so when we have faith without trust, when we face these storms, and we do not get the outcome that we wanted or we're looking for, we start building up walls. This is where we bring God in to be powerless as us, because it's like, God, my faith said that this was going to be what it was, but I'm not seeing it, I'm not getting it. And so it's like, oh, if you can't do this for me now, I don't think you'll ever be able to do it, because faith is the assurance. This is from an author of a book I read. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for. Trust is the confidence in the character of God. That's the distinction, because faith is so good, because that's what gives us the encouragement to move on and on. But trust is the root of the character of God. That's where we believe in. Trust is us knowing God is listening and he cares in the middle of that storm. So just as you are crying into your husband's or your wife's arms and you feel them wrap around you, or your best friend, you feel them wrap around you and you feel that. That is what it's like to trust in a caring God. That you know that even when you do not get the outcome you hoped for, that he is still doing what he said he's going to do. And the confidence will continue to build the faith. There's a very well-known man in the Bible. His name is Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 to 22, it talks about this. Abraham never wavered in believing in God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. This is the key part. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. You see that? He was fully convinced. His trust was fully in God that he will do whatever he said and whatever he promised to do. It's beautiful. I guarantee you, Abraham had many doubts. An old man who was promised that he would have more children than the stars in the sky. That's a scary thought. That is a very scary thought. I mean, my mom had triplets, and so, you know, that's a little too much there. But envision trusting God's character and how that's going to develop your faith. Think about it. That when you start to actually trust someone, think about people you have to trust in your life. Parents, you have to trust them as you're growing up. Trust them that they're going to keep you safe, keep you from harm, the best that they can. Trust our counselors when we're going through something, we go talk to them. Trust your pastors that when you go to them, they're going to be like this for you. And yes, we won't equivalent to what God is, but you can feel what it's like when you really trust someone and you can go to them and you know they've got your back. We must first trust God to be who he is and what he said he's going to be. And that's the unique aspect of trust. Have you heard that statement, you know, just the blind faith? Like, take a step out, blind faith, step out blindly. It's kind of like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. You know that when he's in the cave and there's the open wide and he's like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And he's there. I won't do that. I don't want to break a leg today. But It's the same kind of idea that we build our trust in God, that we're not blindly walking in faith. God never asked us to blindly walk it out, to just be like, okay, just maybe give all your money away and then there you go. It's trusting and knowing that we root our faith in the trust we have for his character and who he is. And then the last point is, this one's really hard. This one was hard for me to take into, that we look for the wrong miracle. And this was fascinating. I just actually understood this as I was studying for all of this. Because we've gotten to this point where we begin to trust his character and we see how that develops our faith. And now, boom, we're getting it. We're understanding it. But we didn't see the change. We didn't see what we were looking for. We didn't see the miracle as we wanted to see it. All our prayers, all our faith, our trust, it seems like it's gotten us nowhere. And now, I know you know this, I don't have the answer for you guys, for whatever you're going through, I don't have that answer. But the miracle may not be in a way you wanted to see it or expecting to see it. And looking back at the story we've looked at, to this point the disciples had not seen Jesus perform a miracle with nature yet. This is what I just understood. It was so cool because he'd been healing the body. And now healing the blind, the sick, that's where Jesus was healing. And now out of nowhere, Jesus is performing this wild miracle they did not know he could do. They were expecting something, but I don't think they were expecting this. Because like I said, they were gripped with fear. That's all they had flowing into them, surrounding them, encompassing them. And it didn't change. In the verses, it says that they were afraid before and they were afraid after. How they were feeling, the moments, the experience didn't change, but God did so much around them. Imagine seeing that. Everything just stopped. And it wasn't what they were looking for, but he's still there. He's still moving. All the stories, all the words that God gave us this morning, it's all of this. Every bit of it, he's with you, he's around you, he controls the air you breathe, he's in the air you feel. And it was beautiful to hear that when you pray for somebody, you're like, God's presence is with you, and you feel it. That same presence is with them there. There were more boats on that sea that Jesus saved. There were other boats that followed too. Jesus didn't just save his disciples, he saved all those around him. And the disciples were still afraid. But God moved. He moved externally. It's not always going to be internal. For those of you struggling with depression and anxiety, sometimes that's not going to go away. That may stay. But look at what he's doing around you. The people he's bringing into your life. The support he's building for you. The church he's brought you into. Look at what he's doing on the outside. And don't miss it, because it's awesome, and it helps us, it encourages us. But this is why we root our trust in him. So these moments will not be overcome by disappointment, but encouragement. That when we don't get the miracle we wanted or the miracle we see, we know he is still the God who has promised to be there for us, to be with us. And this will move you from God, why did you abandon me, to God, what do you have for me? In loss, in pain, in suffering, God, where is your miracle in this? And the more you move with that, the more you build your relationship with God, the more you root that trust, build the faith, the more you will see what he is doing. So that when you have to move a province, move a country, start a new job, start a new relationship, graduate school, you will see what he's doing in all of that, internally, externally. Andrew and I, we found an apartment in a day. We called somebody. They said, hey, it's yours if you want it. And we found it. We got it. Yes, that was us taking the step, but God, look at what he did. He opened it up for us. He brought us here. All our vehicle, our insurance stuff with ease, just like that. No issues. We're paying less insurance here than we were back there. Like, God is covering us in every aspect of our lives. And what we can do is just know our trust is placed right with the right person and not doubt that. As I begin to close here, let me read for you Psalms. This is so good. This is Psalms chapter 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. That's where it begins. Continue relationship with him. Do not abandon him when it feels like he's abandoning you. Because the storms will come, the storms will blow, they'll be strong, they may take you down, but God's promises, they never, ever change. Look at history, look at the Bible. That is a long, long time ago. Has he changed one single thing from who he is? Not once. And if you don't think that is your case, look around you. Look at the people here who can attest to the moments God has shown up for them every single time. Oh, I love it. It's fascinating. It's so good because we change, right? Our hobbies, our interests, personalities, from young to old, our emotions, they change. We have a God who will not do that to you. Oh, I'm getting excited. I could like scream. It's so good. And I know what it's like to be trusting someone and just flip of a switch, they turn their back on you. God's not going to do that. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. And seek after him. Seek after him. Become to know God. Know Jesus, read his word, study his Bible, find the promises, and trust them. And then see what happens to your faith. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. So let me pray for you guys here as we close up. God, I thank you so much that you never change. That, Lord, we can put our trust in you and know that it will not be turned around on us. That you will not take our words, our complaints, our cries, our screams, our agony, our pain, and make it just seem like it's a joke. That God, you are listening, you care for us, that when we are in the boat, in the worst storm we could ever feel in our lives, you are working around us, in us, everywhere, God. In your air, in what we breathe, you are working, Lord. So God, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing for us in your beautiful and mighty name. Amen. So we're not going to close up right yet. We're going to move into a time of communion here. So Pastor Mike, I invite you up here and we'll continue this on.